It's Financial Freedom Friday, and on this episode of the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, we are going to clarify capital calls.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, where we provide you with actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. It's Financial Freedom Friday, and I'm here with Neil Timmons. During this episode, you are going to uncover what you need to know about capital calls. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Ava Baukamp, and I love to educate investors about passive income from real estate. Before I open up today's episode, I want to ask you for a small favor. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the show so that you never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give us a written review. Also, be sure to take a look at the description of this episode as we have it packed with thousands of dollars in free resources. All right, Neil, we're back with another Financial Freedom Friday. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. It's going to be a fun conversation today because this is an interesting subject matter, one that I know you and I keep hearing about from other people who bring this up and certainly in the circles that we run in. So it is a hot topic in today's environment.
It's a hot topic. It's come up on a number of investor conversations I've had recently, which is why I wanted to dedicate an entire episode of the podcast to this topic, specifically because I can sense that a lot of investors that I'm speaking with have reservations, they have concerns. They're seeing headlines like the one I pulled from June of this year from Real Deal. Real Deal reported that Tides Equity was preparing to make a capital call from their investors. They were close. As of this article, Tides is an LA-based investment firm, and they've been an aggressive buyer of multifamily apartments, over $6.5 billion in the Sun Belt between 2021 and 2022. And according to this article from Real Deal, at 9 of their properties, about 20% of their portfolio, their debt service coverage ratio was less than 1. i.e. they weren't making enough money to cover their debt payments, not necessarily because of poor operations, but because interest rates had moved so sharply and they had used floating rate debt. And so they were starting to resort to other strategies to cover those payments, but they were preparing to make capital calls. So I know this is in the air. It's a question a lot of investors have. And so we wanted to clear the air and clarify what you need to know today about capital calls. So just some context, it seems like for the past couple of years, people could print money. It seemed like everyone, a lot of sponsors and general partners could see no downside, no risk, and investors were encouraged to not really consider the potential downsides or the risks as well. And when interest rates moved so fast and so hard, everyone was all of a sudden reminded that real estate investing, just like everything else, has its risk. So, Neil, why don't you kick us off with the basics? What even is a capital call?
Yeah. So a capital call is this. It's a request for additional investment. It's a call. It's a call for more money, just what it sounds like. Context of this is that they're typically unplanned. They're typically unplanned calls for additional capital contributions to an investment when something has happened, generally speaking. And what you just opened with, the fact that interest rates have trended higher, and it clearly that wasn't in the underwriting. Otherwise, they would have been prepared for it with capital in reserve to do so, or they would have had a fixed rate. And again, would have been unprepared for that. But it goes past just interest rates, or it can go into operations. The inability for somebody to hit, again, their underwriting model. You know, if they were expecting, make up a number, 90% occupancy, and they only hit 80% occupancy, well, you can only last for so long before you're going to need some additional money. Occasionally, there could be a scenario in which there's a catastrophe. You could have a weather-related event. You could have an insurance claim. So weather-related fire, who knows what it may be. And you may have to front some of the money on a remodel before insurance comes in and pays one back, pays for that claim. So it's possible that there could be a scenario like that where there's a short gap where money's needed in order to close that gap.
Yeah, I think it's important for investors to understand and realize before they make any investment, if they're new to this space, that a capital call is a component of the legal structure that's a part of any real estate syndication, any investment that you might be looking at. And this is for a refresher. In a syndication, you have the GP team, the general partner, and you as an investor, you are an LP. You are the limited partner. Together, they jointly invest, or your general partner should be investing alongside Correct. In that deal with you. And in the legal structure, in the legal document, there are provisions that outlines what happens in the case that more money is needed, more capital is needed. And those legal documents will lay out scenarios in which a capital call is justified. This isn't something where GP team can just, boom, request for extra money with no justification. The scenarios and events in which a capital call can be required are provided for in the legal documents, but it is a part of the legal structure, no matter what type of deal you are looking at. And Neil, you touched on a couple of the scenarios in which a capital call is needed. This is not something our team has ever had to implement. We've never needed a capital call on any of our deals, but interest rates are a big one that a lot of sponsors and general partners are running into right now, is that quick move in interest rates that they were unprepared for because they used floating rate debt. Like you mentioned, unforeseen operational expenses or some sort of catastrophe. You also have the risk factor of the operations team and the general partner team. Perhaps they frankly didn't manage things well. Maybe there was a rehab budget and they blew through that, and now they have to finish a project and need additional funding from their investors. You could have a tenant who moves out and there's vacancy and there's not enough cash flow. And a way that this can be mitigated, the risk of a capital call can be mitigated, is through something like a capital reserve, like you mentioned. And as a limited partner, it's important for you to ask questions about that to see, as you're reviewing specific investment opportunities, is there a capital reserve in place to make sure that there's sufficient liquidity, sufficient reserves, so that under normal circumstances, it's not needed, but in case unexpected expenses arise, that can be covered and taken care of without a capital call. Just like your own personal budget, we're all advised to have emergency expenses covered for a couple of months. The same thing should apply at a high level to a syndication, just so that you don't have to make a capital call when that could have been prevented on the front end by having appropriate budgets in place. And the capital call process generally is outlined, again, in those legal documents that you review as a limited partner before you invest in any deal. So it's absolutely crucial and critical that before you make any investment, you actually read all of the legal documents. I know that sounds super obvious, but it's very easy to start to skim and not read through those carefully. So especially if you're very concerned about capital calls, make sure you read through those legal documents and understand what the process is. But I'm going to give you a quick overview generally of what you could expect from a capital call process. Again, this will vary based on the legal documents, but this is a relatively standard process to expect. Number one, you'll be notified, email, call, webinar, some way you'll be notified, and voting may possibly be required in order to approve a capital call. Either way, you'll receive a notice and it won't spring up on you too you'll not be shocked by what's happening. They'll notify you and you'll have some window to prepare for it. There'll be a contribution deadline, the time frame within which the capital call must be made, in which you'll be required to submit those additional funds. That deadline will be made aware to you. Contribution methods, the method and the process, simply outlining, hey, Neil, we're requesting $20,000 based on your proration in the investment, and you can make your investment in XYZ manner by XYZ date. Now, what happens if you don't have the money? Neil, can you talk a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah. So you got a capital call. You're told you need to have X amount of dollars by Y date, and you can't do it. Things change. You could have made an investment 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and now you're getting called at this point in time to be able to do that. And so what happens if you don't have the money? Well, the legal documents, the documents that outline everything in the investment, outline all of it. It's going to tell you exactly what happens if you don't. But what are some of the things that could happen? It's possible that you could be ineligible for future distributions until the property is sold. And it's also possible and highly probable that you're going to be diluted. Other people are going to write that check to keep their prorated, their share of the ownership in the property. And somebody likely is going to step in and write the check for you and ultimately take a percentage of ownership, thus diluting you. This happens in the stock market, if you will, as things grow over a period of time. You see this in private companies before they go public typically. You just get diluted and your ownership becomes smaller. Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com. Mm.
Yeah. Or alternatively, you might be forced, required to sell your share if you're not able to make that contribution and someone else in the deal is willing to essentially buy you out. The key here is communication. This is something that should be screened for before you ever invest. You deserve to be kept in the loop, kept informed, but it's important for you to know that you should never make any investment where you can't afford to lose that total investment. You shouldn't be speaking with a general partnership team who doesn't ask about your liquidity position. They should be doing their due diligence on the front end to make sure that they're not accepting an investment from you that puts you in a precarious situation as an individual, as an investor. And that's why it's absolutely critical that you do your due diligence on the front side, not only of that property, but also of the person that you're investing with, that general partnership team. If you're having a conversation with them and they aren't asking you a ton of questions about your financial background, what you're looking for, what your liquidity position is, how much you're looking to invest, that should throw up some red flags for you. If you meet with a no syndicator, we're not financial advisors, we're not allowed to give financial advice, but if you meet with a financial advisor, it would be absolutely expected that they ask you lots of questions. Or if you go to the doctor's office and you have some undiagnosed illness, you would be surprised if they didn't ask you a lot of questions. And the same thing should apply if you're investing in a syndication as a limited partner. Before you invest in any deal, make sure that general partnership team is asking you a lot of questions so they can thoughtfully and carefully screen their deals and make sure they don't put other investors at risk by allowing an investor into the deal who really isn't sound enough to make that kind of financial decision. So here are four questions you can have in your tool belt to ask about capital calls before you ever make any investment. The first question I have is, what's the process for capital calls if one should happen? They should be able to outline that process for you pretty clearly, like I did ahead. You'll be notified, there's a deadline, we'll tell you how to do it, and here's what happens if you're not able to make that additional capital call. Number two, ask them if they've ever had to make a capital call, and if so, what was the situation? They should be able to explain it and give you not only what the situation was, but how they fixed it. Number three, you should ask them how they handle communication, how they handle communicating difficult news to investors. The only thing that's worse than bad news is being kept in the dark. And so you want to make sure you're investing with a team that's going to be upfront, clear, and give you hard news rather than trying to solve it and surprising you at the last minute with some terrible news that you should have been informed of long ago. The last question I have for you is, what are other options that the general partnership team has at their disposal outside of capital calls? They can lend money from another source. They can actually write a check from their own funds and lend money to the deal to cover it. So there are ways that kind of shortfall can be addressed without the need of a capital call. But you should ask a general partnership team before you invest with them those four questions so you can screen for a thoughtful and careful team before you ever make an investment. All right, Neil, let's wrap up this episode. What are your concluding thoughts for our limited partners who are listening, investors who are listening to this episode?
Well, for me to piggyback on what you just said, what are the other tools at one's disposal? And you talked about it earlier on, capital reserves is a big one. It's a big tool at the disposal, and the time to ask the questions of the capital call process is before investing. And at the same time is before any investment has taken place when the team has budgeted for capital reserves. The reason that GPs don't love to do a whole lot of capital reserves is it lowers the projected IRR, lowers the projected return on the investment. And the projected return on the investment oftentimes gets investors very excited about investing in the deal. And so that would be a reason is that they get skinny on the capital reserves when they're doing a deal so that the projected returns look very favorable. And so there needs to be an appropriate amount of capital reserves inside of a deal to plan for a rainy day to at least a degree so that unexpected surprises don't pop up, because there's nothing worse than a phone call asking you for more money a period of time from now. To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.